So I am a singer. I'm not a solo singer or an opera singer, but I've done a lot of singing in my life, and I'm more of a choral singer. I've been singing in choir since middle school. Middle school, high school, college, and even after college in a professional choir. And I love to sing. But as a choral singer, I've sung Handel's Messiah. I can't even tell you how many times. Who here has sung it? Yeah. It is a beautiful piece of music. It is a beautiful composition. And it's challenging, and it's lively, and it's just a joy to sing. So when we read the Passion story, like we just read, some of the words, actually, so I should say, all of the words from Handel's Messiah come from Scripture, all of them. And many of you probably sang Messiah for Christmas. It's a traditional thing to sing at Christmas time. Maybe you've done a Messiah sing-in, things like that. But really, Handel wrote this piece more for Eastertide. It actually is the whole salvation history from Adam until after Jesus' resurrection. So it is intended, he wrote it and intended it for Eastertide. So, I forgot where I was. So, in this Passion narrative, and really in all of them, there are little phrases that I'm used to singing. So things like, he trusted in God, let him deliver him. We said, who delivered him? Also, who is this King of glory? We did that outside. Right? We know those phrases. So it's in a way, for me anyway, and maybe for some of you who've already sung this, it's like when I read it, I'm hearing the tunes in my head. I'm hearing that melody kind of underlie the words. And the words are almost easier to sing. They don't sound so hard and harsh. To say them, to say them is a little bit harder. If we're a lector or if we're reading this to someone else, maybe not in a service, to say some of the words are difficult because it is a hard story to listen to and to read. And what we just did this morning is we did this dramatic reading where every one of us had a part. Some people here had a smaller part, and then all of us in the all parts said those words, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be on us and our children. Those are hard things to say or to be in that drama because we don't want to be those people necessarily. He said those things. But that's what we do today. On Palm Sunday, we move very quickly from the Palm Sunday to Passion, really. The story is condensed today. We go from the laying palms on the road for Jesus in the morning sun to death on the cross in the dark of the afternoon with a curtain tearing and an earthquake. It is a dramatic change. We go from all glory, laud, and honor to the centurion saying, truly, this man was God's son. So we have to enter into that story. It is inevitable. It's hard. It's horrific. We've had famous people produce movies, right? Some of you have seen some of those movies, and one just a few years ago was so graphic, so horrible, because it is a horrific story. But sometimes we just want to see it, or maybe almost need to see it, because it does help us get right in there and imagine who we might be even in the story. So it's condensed, and it's dark. It's dark in a way that isn't necessarily surprising. We know the story, but even ourselves, we live in a world of darkness. We're kind of used to darkness. This morning we had, there was a bombing in Egypt, in Christian churches, a Coptic Christian church, and many people died. We live in a time where chemical weapons are used to kill innocent people, a time where Tomahawk missiles are fired in retaliation to kill more people. We live in a time where tragedy and grief are, for some people, part of their everyday lives. So we have to go there. We have to go to the darkness. We cannot have the resurrection without death, right? You've all heard that. Death has to come first, and then the resurrection. There was a woman, Valerie Kaur, I think her name is. She's a younger woman, and she's a lawyer, and she's a Sikh, and she's an activist. And earlier in the year, she was giving a talk at an AME Zion church, and I think it was in New York City, not positive. And she said at the end of her talk, because she was talking about really where we were in our country, the darkness that some of us were experiencing at the time, but we can broaden that a little bit. And she said, what if the darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? What if the darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb, where we might see new light and birth, rebirth, new birth? That's definitely worth pondering throughout our lives, I think. But we as Christians know that we do have the darkness of the tomb. It is part of us. There is the darkness of the tomb. And that darkness is what leads us to the light of the resurrection, to the new life that we know through Jesus in the resurrection. And that resurrection is what gives us hope. And we need hope. So at a time where we are desperate for hope, that we look forward to the resurrection, but not yet. We're not there yet. We are in a story, at the end of this story, in a darker place. So I know that many of you are not going to be able to make it to many of the Holy Week services, maybe. You have busy lives. You have jobs that keep you busy even into the night. You have, I know from even the earlier service, some of the children in this local area, Mountain View School District and maybe Los Altos, I'm not sure, but several school districts are on break. So people are out on vacation enjoying themselves, and so they're not going to get to the services this week. But for those of us who are here, we need to enter the story, and we need to stay with the story. You can come to those services and follow the story. Be in the story for Maundy Thursday and Jesus' Last Supper and the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. We can stay in the story on Good Friday when Jesus dies because it's an important part of the story. So I do encourage you all to stay even during the week. If you are too busy to get here, although I would say do your best because it is worth it to try to be here as much as you can for all of these services. For those of you who can't, I'm going to send out a Bible verse and a short meditation every day of the week through Constant Contact. So if you can just pause for a few minutes every day at whatever point in your day and read that and think on that, then I'll know that you are staying with the story. So then, if we're all staying with the story, we're going to come back next week. And we're all going to be able to say very joyfully that A word that we have been waiting for. Yeah, the A word. We're ready for it, we're waiting for it, but not yet.